Hey, coffee people, Joel here. Hey, have you guys enjoyed going down the home coffee roasting rabbit hole with me this season? Well, we're going to dig a little bit deeper today with a Q&A episode with some of your questions and some expert answers and responses. So here we go. If you've been listening to the podcast this season, you know that season 2 of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast has been supported by Sweet Maria's Home Coffee Roasting. I love these guys. They're amazing. Since 2012, for me, they have been my source for green coffee, for roasting equipment, for information and resources about roasting coffee at home. And I hope you've enjoyed getting to know them through this podcast as well. If you have not yet taken advantage of their generous offer to listeners of this podcast, I have great news. They've extended the 15% off of green coffee purchases through their website for listeners of the podcast until May 1st, 2020. So go to their website, sweetmarias.com, enter your green coffee order. Use the promo code CRAFTCOFFEE, which is all one word, and you'll get 15% off of your green coffee purchase between now and May 1st, 2020. Thank you, Sweet Maria's. Go get yourself some green coffee. What's up, guys? You've been so kind to send in questions and thoughts and feedback and encouragement. Over the past couple months, as we've had the season of the podcast about home coffee roasting. And so today, I want to honor some of those questions that have come in and share with you, reintroduce you to some friends that you've heard along this journey so far. This year, we're going to hear some responses to some of your questions from Byron Dote at Sweet Maria's. And we're going to hear from Chris Averett at Thrive Farmers Coffee and Joel Norman at Bellwood Coffee. So some legends on the show so far. They were gracious enough to respond to some of your questions. So let's get right to it. I've got, I think, 6 questions that we'll sort of dive into today. And the first one is starting with kind of high level. So what other coffee roasting devices can someone use without spending a lot of money? And I've gotten a lot of these questions over the course of 2 seasons, just kind of people peppering me with thoughts about equipment and sort of like product reviews. I will tell you that is not my area of expertise, but I do know what I like. And then I've heard from some of you guys what you like as well. So I'll just kind of compile that into one answer. And I will say, if you don't want to spend any money, you can go for free by getting some green coffee beans from different suppliers. I would recommend Sweet Maria's. Buy some green coffee beans and use a skillet on your stovetop. That's all you got to do. You can do that for free. You've probably got a skillet in your house right now. Just put it right on top of a gas or electric stovetop. Crank it up and stir constantly. That's the key. You don't want to let the beans just kind of sit there. You definitely want to stir them constantly. But you'll see and hear and sort of smell the entire fragrance and aroma and the experience of coffee roasting just from your skillet. Now, it's not going to be that even. And so that's kind of the downside, unless you have a very even way of stirring constantly. But that's going to be your downside. But it's a great way to try it out. So, and that's for free. A little step up from there is something we've talked about on the show already is the popcorn popper. Sweet Maria's recommends the brand Nostalgia, and so do I. I tend to trust what they put out there. But there's popcorn poppers that you could look at. I mean, you can get them really cheap if you find them at a flea market or antique store or something, or you could spend about $20 online and get started roasting coffee at home as well with the popcorn popper. Little step up from there, there's a couple that I found that I've never used but I heard about. One is a brand called Novation, and it's just an electric coffee bean roaster. It's a little bit of a drum roaster. The quantity is really small. You don't have a lot of control over the time or the temperature or the fan speed or anything like that. But it, you know, for $60-$70, you can get started. I'll put a link to that. And then I'd never heard of this particular machine until someone commented on Instagram. They said something. This came from 100% Dutch Beef, which is their handle. It looks like they're a coffee company in Birmingham called Boston Coffee. But somebody there wrote, "Long live the Barwell Roaster." And I was like, what is that? So I did a little research online. And it looks like it's like a hot plate with a lid that constantly stirs around or keeps the beans agitated in motion. And it looks like you can set a timer. It doesn't look like you can change the temperature or anything like that, or the speed of the circulation, but it does look like a cheap way, like $60-$70 way to get started. And apparently Boston Coffee really loves the Barwell Roaster, so that might be something to check out. And then, you know, the step up from there, the next natural step, if you want to spend a little bit more, is in the $180 to $200 range, and that's to go in and get a fresh roast. And I have episode 10 was all about the fresh roast. So a couple weeks ago, I posted this, You can go back and listen to that if you're curious about what the Fresh Roast is. I think that's the best way if you've got $200 of disposable income to invest towards your hobby. That's the best way, I think, to kind of take the next step from a popcorn popper or from your stovetop or whatever, just to give you more control and more ability to see what coffee roasting is all about. So I'll put a link to a list of roasters, the ones that I mentioned, and then a couple others in the show notes as well. All right, second question. So I did an episode on a couple different ways to roast coffee on a hot top roaster, on a fresh roast, and talked to some roasters as well. But I didn't really do anything on a popcorn popper. So question came in, what are some best practices for roasting coffee on a popcorn popper? And actually, one of the listeners of the show, Aaron Rupp from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, sent in some of his thoughts, which I was very grateful for. So I'll read what he wrote about some best practices for popcorn popper roasting. He says, I have some advice for popcorn popper roasting with the nostalgia. Now that I have my thermocouple lager, which is like a tracker for a thermometer, I see that the heater cuts off in the popper when the exhaust temperature gets to 360 degrees. So that's kind of, I guess, this is my editing. That's kind of like the safety switch governor. So Aaron says, so I recommend doing a 2-ounce roast or about a third of a cup of coffee, which yields 3 cups of coffee. Having 3 ounces of coffee traps enough heat to trigger that temperature cutoff switch. For some reason, I recommend removing the scoop and using a grease splatter screen. The scoop also traps more heat. So thanks, Aaron. What I hear you saying is there's an emergency shutoff when the temperature gets to a certain point in the nostalgia roaster. And so he gave us a couple tips of just using 2 ounces worth of coffee to avoid tripping that switch, or to remove the scoop and use a grease splatter screen instead at the top so that you don't run into the 360 sort of automatic shutoff. So that's great. Aaron also, I think I may have put this in a previous episode, but I'll put it in again. He shared kind of the thermocouple, the thermometer that he uses to identify what temperature is going on inside the popcorn popper, and that can be really helpful to sort of know that variable. So thanks, Aaron. Appreciate that. All right, third question. This actually came from my neighbor, Robbie, in the episode that we did on my back porch where we roasted a batch of coffee through the hot top roaster. So Robbie asked, and I reached out to get a little bit of extra context. He asked, is it true that the longer that coffee is sealed, the more complex notes and flavors come out of the coffee? So that's a great question. And I enlisted the help of Byron to help me out.
Hey, Joel, this is Byron from Sweet Maria's getting back to you about your listener's question. Does coffee develop more complex notes the longer it is sealed in a container after being roasted? Not necessarily. The purpose of storing coffee in a container is to keep the CO2 in and to keep the oxygen out. So essentially, you'd want a container that has a one-way valve on it that lets the CO2 out without letting the oxygen in. But to answer the actual question, it will not develop more complex notes. There have been instances of people storing coffee in like wine barrels or whiskey barrels, and sometimes those storage containers do impart some of their flavor into roasted coffee, but I think that's another tangent we can get into another time. Storing coffee in a container will help it preserve longer. It'll help preserve the flavors longer, but it won't create new notes per se. Hope that answers your question. If you have anything else, let me know. I'd be happy to answer them for you. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Byron. So my key takeaway from that is that sealing coffee after it's roasted is more about preserving that flavor as opposed to adding flavor to the coffee. So Robbie has another question that kind of followed up on this one that I enlisted some more expertise on, about how long coffee is good once it's sealed.
I'm curious to test you to see what happens after 3 months. Can you actually let it sit for three months?
Yes. I don't know about 3 months. That's probably a good question for the professionals. That seems like too far to let it rest, but I don't know the real reasons why.
Okay.
All right, so I called in the big guns to help us answer Robbie's question. This is Chris Averett from Thrive Farmers Coffee, head roaster there. Let's see what Chris has to say.
This is a great question because I think if we don't want to admit that we've experienced it, probably our parents or grandparents have. And I think one of the best things to get out of the way early on is if you discover, let's say you've done this and you discover a bag of coffee in the back of your pantry that is unopened, it's been sealed tight, and you bought it 3 months ago. It is still going to be safe to consume it as far as the bacterial growth. All things have bacteria on them, but coffee in and of itself, when sealed tightly and separated from anything that could harm it, will not grow any harmful bacteria within that timeline that would make it where it would be unsafe to consume. So now that we've answered the question of whether coffee is safe after being stored for 3 months, we can talk about whether or not it's good. And to be fair, a lot of whether or not it is good is up to the interpretation of you, or it's your opinion. So it'd be best to make a cup of that coffee and see if you like it. If you do, then it's good. And if you don't, then it's not good. There are lots of things that inform us as to whether or not coffee is good. And I will speak to some of that, but you're the end consumer at this point. So it's safe for you to consume it. So try it. That's your best test. But to go into a little bit of the science, and to try and put it simply, once coffee is roasted, it's exposed to air, and this begins the oxidation process that breaks down coffee over time. And sealing it in a bag or a bin or a box simply slows that down. Similar to how a refrigerator doesn't kill bacterial growth, it merely slows it down. So once you reopen that bag that you've had sealed, it's going to return to the normal degradation process, but now it's 3 months old, so it's inevitably a little bit weaker as far as a cellular structure goes. So potentially, and probably, you're going to have a few good cups, if not a lot of good cups, out of that bag if it was sealed as well as you're hoping it was. But you're also going to have the potential of a quicker fall off of the flavor intensity. And so I'd just be wary of that. But the best bet is to test it by tasting it and see if it's good to you.
All right. So I'm hearing that you're probably past the goodness of the bestness of the coffee when it's 3 months old. But maybe not. To Chris's point, if you grind it, brew it, and decide you like it, then that's, I mean, you're good. You're golden. But the key is what I'm hearing as far as the biggest takeaway from that is the seal that you have on roasted coffee is really important. So if you've got a really good seal, then I think the longer you have it sealed in that structure or container or whatever, the better chance that it's going to be okay or decent, even 3 months down the line, potentially. So that was a great question. And this final question that I got for today's episode was a really good one from a guy named Gregory Lee. That's his Instagram handle. And he kind of goes down this path of sealing coffee after it's roasted. He asked a really good question. It says, quick question, after roasting, so you immediately seal the bag you put your coffee in or let it air out? I only ask because I've heard the negative effects of oxygen on coffee, whereas I've seen roasters let the coffee sit for at least 1 day before bagging. And you know what? I have seen this as well. Craig or Gregory, I'm not sure what you go by. I'm guessing Craig, but I could be wrong. I've seen this as well, actually, with roasters that leave roasted coffee that just came out of the roaster sitting out for a really long time. I personally like to sit out until it just cools and then put it in a container. But you're right. I've seen that from roasters as well. So I reached out to Joel Norman at Bellwood Coffee, and they are one of my local favorite coffee shops in Atlanta, and put this question to him. So we'll see what he says.
So, to get back to the question, Scott Rayo talks about this in Coffee Roasters Companion, and there's actually enough internal bean pressure after you roast the coffee for the first 12 hours that it won't actually allow oxygen to do any kind of real damage. So you don't really necessarily need to seal the coffee immediately. A lot of our coffee after we roast it is kind of sitting in open bags for the first few hours, and that's totally fine. Coffee's degassing like crazy. The internal pressure is high enough to keep oxidation from happening for those first few hours. I'd say after 12 hours, you'd want to go ahead and get it sealed, get it in a bag, and it can continue degassing. If there's a one-way valve, that gas will have a way out, but oxygen won't have a way in.
So that was really helpful for me. Hopefully it was for you guys as well, because I'm typically in a rush to get my roasted coffee sealed as quickly as possible after it's cooled down. But I guess I don't really have to. I don't have to be, if I leave it out on accident for longer than I thought, even to Joel's point about, you know, up to 12 hours out before sealing it, that you're still in good shape just because of how much is going on in the coffee bean. So hopefully that helped you guys. Hey, big thanks to Byron at Sweet Maria's and Chris at Thrive Farmers Coffee and Joel at Bellwood Coffee for their expertise, for their friendship, and for helping us all learn and up our game at Home Coffee Roasting. I'm going to put links to everything we talked about, all the resources that were mentioned, equipment that was mentioned as well. Joel mentioned the name Scott Rayo. I think he's come up in our podcast earlier this season as well. He's highly knowledgeable, one of the kind of subject matter experts on coffee roasting. He wrote a book called Coffee Roaster's Companion, so I'll put a link to that as well for you to nerd out on. But I will see you guys next week. So next week is going to be the final episode of this first season or second season of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast. We're going to wrap it up with some of my takeaways. I'll do it in kind of top 10 style. So I've gotten a lot of takeaways this season as I've learned more. Hopefully you have as well. I'll give you kind of my top 10, and then I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek for what's coming in season 3 of the podcast. So hope you guys have a great week. See you next week.